again, everybody. It's time for the Mainland Podcast, episode number 139. And I am Michael Citro, the founder and managing editor of themainland.com. We do cover all things Orlando Sea and Orlando Pride related. Welcome to our program. I am joined by my co-host, one of our mainland writers, David Rowe, up in Tallahassee. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing well this week. I'm not feeling quite as burdened as I am every time we've started the podcast the last couple of weeks. I'm not sure why that is.
Because we only have one loss to talk about?
That's it. Okay. You nailed it. Only one.
Okay. I have had quite a day, and we're getting off topic already, but here's what's going on.
Okay.
I am trying to eat healthier, as one does, as you get older and later in life, and trying to, keep the spare tire at bay and all of that stuff. But I am a person who likes pasta. I have yet to find a good pasta substitute. I've tried the spaghetti squash. I've tried the spiral cut of zucchini. And the problem, Dave, is that really the squash products do not hold the sauce. The sauce does not kind of become one with the vegetable the way it does with pasta. I think that's really the issue. So you basically get like a little taste of the tomato sauce and then a whole bunch of sort of a tasteless vegetable texture in your mouth. And it's just not it's not the same. And I have to say that it's 2018. What the hell?
Yeah, you would think we'd have all kinds of substitutes. You would think they would have found a way to make it so that, genetically speaking, we could switch our bodies from this we have to store fat for the winter thing to, hey, let us eat junk food and get skinny.
Yeah, I mean, is it too much to ask science to create a healthy, delicious Twinkie that gives you every vitamin you need and none of the crap?
I think science needs to get on this.
I'm really not happy with science these days. Science is really letting us down.
I'm a big fan of science typically, but you're right. I mean, that's kind of, but funding, I don't know, maybe that's why.
All right. Well, we can't put this off any longer. We do have to talk about the various soccer clubs or soccer teams with Orlando City Soccer Club. And we're going to start this week because there was no MLS game for the Lions. We'll start with the Orlando Pride. A huge game on the road against the North Carolina Courage became an even huger game because huger is not really a word, I don't think.
No.
But it became even a bigger game because the chasing team Chicago Red Stars got a draw against Portland Thorns on the road. So thanks for nothing, Portland.
Right.
And if it helps Orlando if either of those teams drops all 3 points, but it doesn't really help that much if they draw and both get a point, and that's what happened. And so I'm not happy about that, but that pushed the Orlando Pride into fifth place. Orlando needed to get a result on the road against the best team that's maybe ever been in NWSL.
Yeah.
The way the Courage are playing this year, they've already won the Supporters' Shield. They've already, equaled the win record, and they're sure to break that. But the bottom line is they came out Saturday night, and for the first 21 minutes of the game, the Pride looked really good. Of course, they continue to have that problem that Orlando teams sometimes have with finishing chances or making that final ball pay off, but it was really kind of one-way traffic for that first 21 minutes after a lengthy lightning delay postponed the start of the game, and then in the 22nd minute lightning came again and they had to push the game to Sunday. So you knew that wasn't going to be good, an extra night on the road for the team. Everybody from from the Courage got to go home and sleep in their own beds and that kind of thing, regroup. And of course it gave the Courage and their coaching staff a chance to say, wow, they really came after us. They really got on the front foot. We can strategize now. We can kind of sit back and say, how did they do it? What are we going to do about it? And they came back on Sunday morning to complete the game, and it looked like a completely different team. Both teams looked completely different throughout that portion of the game that was played from the 22nd minute on. But credit the Pride. They were hanging in there, and for a while it looked like they might be able to just, even if they couldn't sneak a goal, they might be able to actually just get a 0-0 draw and get out of there with a point and move back into fourth place. And then the dam burst in the 75th minute. An own goal off a turnover in the middle of the pitch by Rachel Hill. She was trying to make a pass, didn't put the proper weight on it, and also kind of telegraphed that it gets picked off. Next thing you know, it's down the other end, and the cross in gets deflected by Shalina Zdorsky, and then hits Ashlyn Harris and goes in. So it's 1-0, and now you're looking at an uphill battle because you're playing a team that's very good defensively, and you haven't been able to break them down, you know, at all.
For 75 minutes, over 2 days, Well, when you're the best team in the league, you're at home, and you've had the biggest timeout break in the history of the NWSL, it makes that a lot easier, especially once you get that first goal. Then, like you said, you can just sit back and, you know, things are bound to go your way. And it's incredibly frustrating, of course, for us with Pride, because there's a ton of talent, but it hasn't, over the last several weeks, it just hasn't seemed to translate. When you were saying the Orlando City teams have a problem getting the ball into the back of the net, all I can think of is we need to name it the Happy Gilmore disease or something like that. They can't get the ball to go in the hole, and it's incredibly frustrating. And that, you know, like you said, Ashlyn had some good saves, but at some point there's only so much you can do.
Yeah, and you know, I don't really falter on the goal. I mean, it did take a deflection, and that kind of throws everything. It's. You know, you've committed to an action, and once the ball changes direction, it's impossible. You've already committed your body, and your momentum can't stop, and so the ball hits you, and it makes you look bad as a goalkeeper, even though there's nothing you could do about it. The second goal, nothing she could do about it, smashed in by Dabinia at the near post, and it was really a bad play by Ali Krieger. She tried to shield a very, very slow-moving ball, hoping it would roll out for a goal kick, and you know, it wasn't moving quick enough to do that, and she actually should have done something with it, either try to play it out to the side for a throw or just concede the corner. But instead, Lynn Williams picked her pocket, and the ball pops out for Dabinia, and it's in the net. It's 2-0. The third goal, just poor defending, really. It was, a ball in the air, and, Lana Kennedy was not on Lynn Williams. She should have been on Lynn Williams. She was not. She was too far away. She tried to jump and get the ball, and she probably thought she could head it. You know, she's pretty good in the air, but she did not. It cleared her, and that probably doesn't happen if she's a little closer to Lynn Williams. And so, just mistakes, and it's the kind of mistakes we've seen all year. And really, we saw them last year, but, you know, the offense was clicking so well last year that for the Pride that you didn't really sweat those, you know, mistakes. And of course, with the Pride, we're not playing from behind so much. So, you know, you were able to have the lead, and, you know, these plays, you know, when they happened, were not, catastrophic. And you had teams that actually had to do what the Pride have been doing, which is push more numbers in the attack, becomes more susceptible on the counter, and the Pride were able to finish off teams that way last year. They have not been able to do that this year. For whatever reason, this team just doesn't look comfortable out there on the field together. There are some new players, but not enough to where you would think that would be a problem. It seems that some players have taken a step back in form this year. Certainly Alana Kennedy is one of those that I think we all have seen that she's not been performing the way she did last year. Of course, Camilla has missed most of the season with an injury, and then coming back from that is difficult. Yep. And she hasn't really rounded back into form yet. And, you know, it's just been, a lack of chemistry, a lack of cohesiveness. They look like they're groups of players rather than a unified team at times. I just think it's a chemistry issue, and I know there's a lot of heat on Tom Sormani, but I don't think that he's trying to coach them any differently than last year. I think he's trying to do the things that he thinks will work, and for whatever reason, it's just not working. And in the toughest, you know, professional women's league in the world, it doesn't take much to kind of, upset the balance. And, you look at the NWSL standings from second place to seventh place, you could throw a blanket over those teams and catch them all. It's that close. And the margin for error is so small, and we've seen it. And it's, It's been a rough season. The Pride are not out of it. They, if they beat Chicago, they still have a decent chance, because remember, if they finish even tied with Chicago on points, they would get the spot because they won the season series. But they have to, they absolutely cannot lose the game Saturday at against Chicago at home, because if they do, it's pretty much lights out. Chicago would have to drop a lot of points. Or actually, no, I don't think they can catch them now. I think that would be it, because they would be 4 points clear and one game to go. Yep. So yeah, it's a must win. Both the games really are must wins. They have to beat Chicago like they've done two times in Chicago this year, and then they have to go on the road against a team that's just desperate to get a win before the end of the season in Sky Blue. And Sky Blue has given Orlando trouble, because they're a physical team. They don't mind mixing it up and beating and banging, and that's a recipe for beating Orlando. We've seen this. Orlando is a finesse team. They're not physical. And when they get up against a team that's not afraid to knock them down a few times, you know, they tend to have problems.
Yeah, I haven't given up on the season. I haven't given up on the Pride. I haven't given up on, you know, the players. But it's like you said, I mean, we're down to it now. There is no room for error of any sort. They do have to beat Chicago, and to really have a good chance, they do have to beat Sky Blue. And so I don't know what the solution is for the chemistry. Evidently, Tom Cermani doesn't either, unfortunately, because he's the one that's got to maybe facilitate that. But something has to be done. And at this point, even if it's the veterans on the team, you know, taking the reins, if it's, you know, Alex Morgans or the City of the Ruse or Marta, whoever, they need to step up and say, look, I'm planting the flag here. We are going to do this. You know, so I don't know. Obviously, we'll be watching, you know, the Chicago game very carefully, and hopefully they can get in there and do what needs to be done. But man, when you needed a result and you knew it was going to be tough against Carolina, to get that far into the match and have it all just fall apart was definitely pretty disheartening.
Yeah, they were 15 minutes from a result. It didn't work, but. You know, the other thing too is you brought up Sydney LaRue. She returned from her illness, but it was a short-lived return. She only got in about a half an hour before she was forced off with an injury late. Looked like she clashed heads in a, you know, with a ball into the box, and she had to come off. And that's not a good sign either going into these last two games, because she's your leading goal scorer. And if you would have told me before the season that Orlando Pride's leading goal scorer with two games to go would only have 6 goals based on the names on this team, I would have just not even, I would have believed 6 goals might have been the 5th leading goal scorer.
Yes, there would have been much laughing.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, you know, Alex Morgan hasn't been getting service, but we still haven't, she hasn't been sharp either, you know, for the club, which is weird because she's been really sharp for the U.S. But, you know, that last bit of, composure in the final third. I mean, she's missed the net, she's hit the goalkeeper, she's hit the post. I mean, so she's, you know, been a little bit off. You haven't seen too many of those magic moments from Marta, like the one at the end of the game about a month ago when she cut back twice and scored, you know, she just willed herself and that team to win that game. And we haven't seen enough of that, and we haven't seen really enough of the super sub Rachel Hill, who had a great year down in Australia. And she, you know, Tom actually played her in the midfield in this game, which was a little odd, I thought, but you know, I was up there, I was up for it, and I wanted to see what she could do. And it turns out not a whole lot, because she really had a poor game. And I don't know if it was the unfamiliarity with the positioning or what, but it was really a rough game for Rachel. It was a rough game for a lot of them, but certainly we have expected and come to see more from Rachel Hill in the past. And, you know, nothing, none of the substitutes really could help the situation. And it was just ugly. And you knew it could be, because, you know, North Carolina is just that good. And I don't, people are out there belly aching saying, you know, I hope we don't make the playoffs, because, you know, we're just going to get in and get killed by North Carolina again. But you know what? I'm always for getting in the playoffs rather than not getting in the playoffs, because anything can happen. And it's difficult to beat a team 4 times in a season. I mean, I'm not saying that North Carolina can't do it, and maybe with ease, but, you know, make them do it.
Right. And always, always make the playoffs. Even if you go out in the first game, who cares? That is an accomplishment. If I'd love to hear those same people say the same thing about the men's squad.
Oh, they say it.
But they say it in a different context, and they're saying it in the let's play the young guys context. But
not really. I mean, I think it's kind of the same. What I've been seeing online is kind of the same. It's almost like there's an anti-Tom Sermonti crowd, and they want the team to miss the playoffs so he gets fired. The same way people wanted Orlando City to lose so that Jason Christ would get fired. And there are those out there. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. People that do that know who they are.
They do so on social media proudly, so it's not like we're calling them out on it.
Yeah, it makes no sense. I would never root for my team to lose a game. Even last year when it was like it would have been better for the Pride to maybe take the L at North Carolina, I still wanted them to win the game, and they did, and it kind of hurt them in their seeding. Because they had a tougher road. They had to go out to Portland for the first round playoff game. But, if my team suits up, I want them to win. I don't care if it's a friendly, a playoff game, a regular season game, whatever it is. I don't care. I want to see my team win. So I don't understand any other way of thinking because I'm just not wired that way. Dave, my player of the game was pretty easy to pick, even though she gave up 3 goals. It was probably Ashlyn Harris by default because nobody else really stood out to me.
Yeah, no, I have to agree with you. It was Ashlyn. We found out today she had the save of the week on that excellent one-hander. So, if Alex had maybe been able to score one, maybe she slides in there as player of the week, or player of the match. But no, it's got to be Harris.
Yeah, so uphill battle for the Pride with only 2 games left in the regular season. It's hard to believe that their season's almost over.
Oh, I know.
But they will play Chicago this weekend, and that is really the season if they lose. And if they win, the Pride are right back in it. They would be above Chicago with 1 match to play. Chicago would have 2 to play. But they would have really no margin for error with the Pride going to Sky Blue for the final weekend. So, we'll see what happens. We won't have to wait long. Although after this weekend, there's an international break. The U.S. women will be playing Chile in a couple of games. So there'll be a weekend off and then the trip to Sky Blue. So we'll see.
Get out there. I mean, just get off the, we you want them losing. Let's just do this.
So it's possibly, quite possibly, because even if the Pride make the playoffs, they're going on the road. So this is your last weekend to get to a Pride game, a Pride home game, unless you're planning to travel. If they, to either Sky Blue or maybe a playoff game, this is your opportunity to see the Orlando Pride. It's your last chance for the year. Like to see the biggest crowd of the year for this Chicago game, and be that 12th man.
Make a difference. Or 12th woman?
Or 12th woman, yes. 12th man. We're not sexist. You could be the 12th man or woman.
12th player.
Yes. Be that. Get out there and be that. So I'll see you.
Be loud. Be proud.
I'll see you at Orlando City Stadium on Saturday. That includes you, Dave. You're calling off work.
Okay. Well, you heard it here, boss.
Yep. You're sick. I can hear it in your voice. I can hear how sick you're getting.
Yes. I can barely finish the podcast.
All right, Ferris. Okay, so again, no Orlando City game this past weekend. It was nice and relaxing. We didn't have to worry didn't have to tear our hair out or drink heavily. So that was nice. Not a lot of news. PC got his green card the other day, so that will cover Carlos Asquez. He will be able to slide into that lineup as soon as his international transfer certificate and P1 visa are officially filed. Whenever that international paperwork goes through, and I don't know that it is. In fact, we should have asked our guest. I did ask the other day, and I did not get a response. But so Carlos Asquez will be in the lineup soon. And, I'm anxious to see what he looks like because I'm not really sure what the team is getting in Carlos. I'm not sure what the team was thinking and not getting some of the other positions we thought might be shored up in that transfer window.
It kind of throws a wrench in the whole idea that they listen to us.
It does. And I will say that I would be happy to ask these questions to those who have the power to make them, but I have not yet received a response to my interview request. But I will continue to push on that front and try to get some information. Not a lot going on with the Lions. Of course, they'll play Friday night against Atlanta United, only the third game this month for the Lions, and their final game of the month of August. It's been a light August for the team. But kind of that's good for our nerves, really, the way they've been playing.
Yes, it really is. Although they did have to pick my birthday to play Atlanta on, so that's yeah. I don't
Happy birthday to you, Dave.
yeah, right. Well, fortunately, I'll probably be having some beers anyway.
You have been known to do so, that's for sure. All right. Well, since we don't have an Orlando City game to discuss, why don't we just get right to our guests? We can do it nice and early this time around. And we have a very special guest this week from the club, and we're going to get to our guest right after this. Joining us on the Mainland Podcast this week, we're very happy to have with us from Orlando City SC, the communications manager, Rafa Cabrera. Rafa, how you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. Thank you for having me. Finally, instead of facilitating players to Mainland Podcast, it's my time to shine now.
It is your time to shine. We have usually had to thank Rafa for getting somebody for us, and tonight we'll have to thank him for actually being our guest. So it's nice to have you with us, Rafa, but it's also kind of sad because you are actually leaving Orlando City after a few years with the club. And why don't we start out? I'll just start out by asking you to let everybody know what it is you're going to be doing.
So, yes, I'm actually going to be leaving the club after 4 seasons and a half. I'm going to leave to go to Madrid and study in the Real Madrid Sports Management and MBA program. So really, really bummed to leave the club and this project, but really excited for this new challenge and for this next chapter of my career.
Well, before we look back on the career that was with Orlando City, tell us a little bit more about this program you're doing. What it is that you're going to get out of it. What it's going to help you accomplish.
Yeah, so this is something that I've been thinking to do for a couple of years. I graduated from UCF and I actually thought about enrolling in the VOS program, which is really, really good, really well known in the country, which is a sports management program, MBA as well. But at the time, I had a job lined up with Orlando City, luckily, and I wanted to take a couple of years of experience. And obviously, with that in mind, I started researching a program that was a little bit more soccer specific. Then, I bumped into the Real Madrid one. The program is basically half of the program is in the classroom with a combination of Real Madrid executives teaching the classes, and then also other leaders from the industry. The other half of the program is events, volunteering, part-time opportunities, jobs, etc. A little bit more practical. There's some parts of the program as well where you travel around Europe. There's also a trip to New York where you visit some of the organizations here in the United States. But overall, it's just a very interesting program because you get to network with many people from different parts of the country. The program that I'm actually taking is going to be in English, so I could get to know some of the people from everywhere in the world with different backgrounds, different cultures, different experiences. And the program just includes classes in media, marketing, law, sponsorships, kind of an overall perspective of the sports world. And I'm just trying to get and understand the way they do things in a club like Real Madrid and in other top clubs in Europe. So really looking forward to that.
So what's the end game here, Rafa? What are you going to be when you grow up, in other words?
I mean, it's interesting because when I went to UCF, I finished school and I was in the middle of interning for Orlando City in operations. Then I transitioned into communications. I really love what I do or what I did during my time in the communications department. But I've also seen, you know, many different parts of the business while working at Orlando City. I think it's really interesting to navigate and see what other departments do, the sponsorship departments, you know, obviously marketing, mm-hmm. Digital media. There's so many things that there are still to learn. And I'm just trying to understand a little bit more the overall perspective of how to run a club, how to run a sports organization, even understand the part of the player representation, and then see, you know, which way I like to go. I think I did an okay job in the communications, but I'd like to also navigate a little bit more in other departments and see where this takes me, you know? Mm-hmm.
Well, we think you did a really good job, Rafa, obviously, you know, having been talking to you for years now. But other than facilitating guests for the Mainland Podcast, what's the thing that you, you're most proud of at your time at Orlando City?
Yeah, it's definitely my number one success in while being at Orlando City. It was working with the Mainland Podcast, working with you guys. but also, in addition to that, I think I'm I think the transition to the new stadium was a big part for me personally, because it was really challenging in the beginning, but the result was really positive. Figuring out the media logistics and the new stadium, the first game at that stadium, and just all the media opportunities that we had around it, all the attention that we got, all the attention that we still get. And obviously, it's not just me, it's my entire department. We have a really good group. But that's, I think, one thing that I'm really, really proud of. And then in addition to that, just working with these players every single day, seeing them grow, seeing their career, reach a level that's been incredible. You see guys like Joshi that you know, joined this league. Nobody really knew about him, and now he's one of the top players in the league. He went to the World Cup. He's gotten a lot of attention locally, nationally, internationally. So there are many things that I'm very happy about. But if I had to pick one, I would say the stadium transition and that exposure that we gave to this building.
On the other side, Rafa, I've done your job, although in a different sport, a different league. But for me, the hardest part was the grind of a losing season was tough, and also going through coaching changes and personnel changes that go along with that, because you develop these friendships and these working relationships with people. What is the toughest part for you?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think you face a lot of challenges. Being in professional sports, you understand that. Winning is great, but losing is a part of it as well. So that's always challenging. Seeing the people that you work with every day that work so hard at training and, in meetings during the games, and when they don't get the result that they're looking for, it's really difficult to see. And then dealing with that frustration, although to be fair, the group that we've had over the years has been really, really good to work with. As a fan myself, it's difficult sometimes to see your team lose. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you understand that it's a part of it, and that this club is on the right path. As you mentioned, coaching changes are always difficult. You develop these great relationships with different coaches. With Inchi, then Bobby, then Jason, then Bobby again, and now with James. Every single coach has their own style. The way they like to do things is different. But I see it more as a challenge for myself, and I really enjoy challenging myself. And I think that every experience that I've had has been positive. It's just learning from every single change and tough situation that we've faced.
Well, speaking of learning, is there anybody that you've worked with that's provided you, some experience or some wisdom that you're going to take going forward into the next part of your career?
Yes, for sure. I think I've been very lucky to work with some of the best professionals in the business, starting with when I joined the club in 2013 as a volunteer and then transitioning to an internship with operations. I think Alex Wolf, the senior VP of operations, game day operations, was a huge help for me. I think he's been not only for me, but for many people at Orlando City. He was the one that kind of ingrained that work ethic and that mentality, that attitude that you need to be able to succeed in this business. Also, I think Lenny Santiago, former VP of Communications, gave me an opportunity to join his department and be a part of you know, the club joining MLS. Jamie Chin, many of you guys know him as well. Mm-hmm. I need to thank him a lot because I was interning for him. And then he was a great, you know, great guy to work with. He was the communications coordinator, did so much, and he did what I do now. And I also thank him for leaving because then I found a job. He went to Portland, and then I work with so many great people. I mean, right now, VP of Communications is Diogo Cocho. He's someone that worked with Kaká throughout his entire career, worked with the national team, and you know, has been in the biggest stages in the soccer world, went to the World Cup, and just knows so much. And for me, it's been great to work with him as well. I mean, Alex Leitao also has great experience in the business, and it's been really, really helpful. It's been great with me also in this transition part of me leaving the club. It's been awesome. You know, there's people in the league, Gabe Gabor, you know, so many great people that are in this league, so many people that are in this organization, and then that have helped, you know, my growth. And I like to be very humble. I like to just, you know, appreciate what people do for me, what the opportunities that they've given me, the trust that they've given me, you know, and I just like to thank every single one of them because they've been a huge part of my career so far.
One of the interesting things about working with athletes, you know, growing up, you watch some of these guys, you know, I'm sure you saw Kaká many times before you worked with him, is to get over that initial kind of being starstruck by some of these guys and learning to, you know, just sort of interact with them as people. How was that for you, you know, working with a guy like Kaká, a guy like Sasha Kljestan, a guy like Antonio Nocerino, guys that you may have seen on TV before?
Yeah, it was definitely special. I mean, I'm Venezuelan. I grew up watching my national team lose against Kaká. It's very frustrating. And obviously, I even had, you know, I bought the AC Milan jersey a few years ago because of Kaká. And then all of a sudden, I'm interning at Orlando City, and they told me, hey, you need to go to the airport and escort this guy that we're signing. I don't know if you know who he is, but it's Kaká. And I'm just, what? What's going on? You know, and then after that, a year after that, I'm working with him every day. And you kind of, you know, as a fan, you see those guys and you're starstruck. But then once you get to know with him every single day, it's incredible. You know, you're showing up to the training facility and seeing how humble he is. And he was one of those guys. Him and Noche, they were very similar in terms of how friendly they were to the staff. I mean, you would show up there at the facility. You'll be there at 9 a.m. and you would see those guys coming and you know, having some banter with you, you know, making fun of you and your national team and the club that you support and having a coffee with you. And you're sitting there. It's like you have, you know, in the Italian international here, you have Kaká, you know, you have Sasha Kljestan, you have some of these stars, and they're just normal people. You know, they're normal human beings. And mm-hmm. It's really, really awesome to see how those guys really are. You know, many people just see them on the field and that's it. And that just made me appreciate these athletes a lot more than what I'm used to seeing on TV, you know.
Well, I'm curious. You obviously were around for several years, a lot of big moments. What was the what was a defining moment or I can't believe that I'm here at this moment for you?
I mean, to be honest, I've been following Chelsea for years. When I was in Venezuela, I followed Chelsea and you know, when Drogba signed for Montreal, I'm like, oh, there's a chance that I get to see this guy in person. And I'm a huge Drogba fan. I have a bunch of posters and jerseys and everything. I just like the way he played. And then after the game that we beat Montreal in our winning streak in 2015, I actually ended up going to the away locker room to get sound bites, and just the Montreal PR guy just pulls Drogba and it's like, hey, yeah, here, ask him questions. And I'm just standing there. It's like, what's going on right now? And I mean, as soon as I asked a few questions, I called my dad. It's like, you have no idea what just happened. Well, that's just one of the different things. Honestly, for me, it's like working in soccer. You know, I just grew up watching it and following it, and then being in a position where I just get paid to work in it and watch soccer and watch training and watch games and travel with the team. It's something that I never thought I would do, and I'm really, really blessed and really, really lucky to be a part of it.
You know, we had a saying in the hockey world, what goes on the road stays on the road. Is that something that you have in soccer as well?
I wouldn't. I mean, I try to not get in trouble. So I haven't need you. I still haven't used that saying yet. But I mean, for sure, when you go on the road, it's fun. You know, it's fun being with the guys and see the way they interact with each other. And it's interesting because when you're on the road, you're that little family that you're sticking out for each other, and you arrive at the stadium and everybody's booing you, and that it gives you even more excitement, and you're just there like, hey, screw you, we're about to beat you. And it's awesome. That's one of my favorite parts of, you know, being one of my favorite parts of the job, for sure, going to other stadiums.
Sorry about that, folks. We had a little bit of technical issue. You were saying, you know, you enjoyed being on the road, and that was fun for you, although it, you know, has its challenges and stuff. I just want to know kind of if you have a really great, before we let you go, a really great story of being on the road with, you know, Adrian Heath, whether it be Jason Kreiss. Give us your best road story that you can cleanly tell and that no one will get mad at you about.
Yeah. I think this preseason it was really, really funny because, you know, the whole team was focused on creating this chemistry, all these new players coming in, and it was you know, a lot of it was focused on that, you know, team getting to know each other, and in one of the meetings, you know, our mental coach Guillermo just randomly says to the staff, it's like, hey guys, it's freezing outside, but we're on the beach, and we're after this meeting is done, we're just gonna run and sprint to the water, and I don't care if it's 0 degrees, the water, you're just gonna go there, and we're gonna go as a team. So the meeting ended, and everybody just sprinted to the water, and it was freezing, and I was with, you know, Miles Joseph, and actually CJ didn't end up coming because he chickened out, but Tim Mulqueen, I was in the water, you know, the equipment manager, Pedro, was there, Guillermo was there, and just seeing the reaction, obviously Jason, the reaction from everybody just yelling and screaming in the water, and you would see people walk around, it's like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? it was hilarious. And those are the type of things that you live on the road and kind of build that chemistry in this, you know, in this team, and you guys have seen it, this team gets along well, and it's like a family inside the locker room, so it's really awesome to be a part of it.
Well, Rafa, we are going to miss you. We definitely wish you the best of luck with your, you know, your program and your continued education in sports business, and we know you're going to come back to the club and do great things later, in a much bigger role, bigger capacity, hopefully. And you know, we will keep in touch, and we will watch your progress from afar, but we really appreciate all you've done for the club, because you really started from, you know, from a very sort of intern, not really well compensated position, and worked your way up within the department. So it's, you know, having done that myself in sports, I know it's not an easy task, and you really have to love what you do, or you will lose your mind, because the hours are so long, the work is just nonstop. And you really gotta work at it so you really better like it if you're gonna do it. So thank you so much for what you've done,
and thank you for what you've done for us here. We really do appreciate.
No,
it.
I just wanna, you know, thank you guys. It's been really awesome to work with you. You know, with all the local media in Orlando. I think you guys have been awesome to this project. You know, the fans have been incredible with this club, and I'm really, really thankful for every single one of you guys, and also I just want to take the opportunity to just thank the organization, honestly, from top to bottom. This is quality, and And I'm really, really grateful that they took a chance on a random Venezuelan kid that just graduated from college and wanted to work hard. And you know, this will forever remain with me, and I'll follow and support this club forever.
Awesome. Thanks so much. And hey, by the way, have they hired your replacement yet?
They haven't yet. I think they're in the process of doing that. So we'll see.
All right. And Dave's not eligible because he doesn't speak Spanish, right?
Yeah, it's going to be something.
Un poquito.
All right. Thanks so much for being with us on the podcast, Rafa. And again, thank you and best of luck to you in the future.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. We want to once again thank you to Rafa Cabrera. Very, very good guy. Very pleased that we got to work with someone like Rafa over the years, not just here on the podcast, but also at the stadium. Just a good person. And his fear of frogs. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, we came out to, there was a frog on the umbrella at training one day, and he was hiding from it. It was kind of comical, but it was, you know, we all have our things.
Well, it's...
All right, let's get to our Mainland Ask the Mainland podcast anything segment. Of course, if you are a listener of our podcast or a reader of our social media or our website, you can ask us anything. We'll answer it. You have two ways to do it. You can email us. And you could do that at themainland@gmail.com, or you can hit us up on Twitter. We are at the mainland. That's our account. And you can use that AskTMLPC hashtag, or, you know, just wait till sometimes we tweet out and ask for questions and you can just reply. But the hashtag will probably be the better move. That's what I'd say.
I'd agree, but regardless, just ask us something.
Yeah, you can ask us anything. And people did just that. Let's start with Lee Gavlik. Lee G.
All right, Lee.
Friend of the program.
What you got?
Or he was friend of the podcast until he said something about Arsenal, I think. I think that's how.
Yeah, I believe he disparaged both of our teams at once.
Lee says, do you think that Adam Grinwis has been sent out on loan simply to do him a favor and get him some playing time somewhere else? Or is it actually to see if he's got what it takes to be the OCSC keeper of the future? And if not, to then start from scratch and seek someone new in the draft this offseason? Maybe they should see if Miguel Gallardo can still go. Kidding about the last part, kind of. Lee, thanks for the email. I think that they would have liked to have gotten Adam some more games this year, but of course it's difficult. You know, everybody's got to go into their season with their keeper, their backup keeper, all of that. And really it was going to come down to when there was an opportunity to get him some games. And I know that a lot of people don't know this, but Orlando City's backups often have played on Monday in a scrimmage. Usually they've often the reserves, the guys that didn't play in the game, and the guys that didn't even make the 18 will usually have some kind of a scrimmage, like an organized game. So he's been able to keep sort of some sharpness. Of course, Adam was brought in to battle for the backup position behind Joe Bendick with Earl Edwards Jr., and Earl seems to have clearly won that battle, and in fact now has an ongoing battle with Joe for the number one spot for right now. But I think the team would have liked to have gotten Adam more games, but of course there's nowhere to put him. And finally, you know, a team had enough injuries and problems at goalkeeper that they had a spot for him, and I think there's really nothing more to it than that. I don't know that they needed to send him out to see if he was the keeper of the future. I think that they've got a pretty good look at him in camp and have had him all season. I think they know what his capabilities are. I know they like Adam, but if Adam hasn't been able to beat your backup and, you know, goalkeeping has been an issue for the team this year, it probably doesn't speak highly of his chances to become the number one keeper here. What do you think, Dave?
No, he's not going to become number one, at least not, you know, this season, maybe even next season. So, do I think it's just them just being nice to go let him get some reps and matches someplace else? No, I mean, it's an organization. It's a profession. It's an opportunity for them to have a guy get some, just like, you know, when we had OCB, you know, before he would have been down there at OCB playing.
Right.
We didn't have that. So instead, this is what they're doing. So, you know, obviously Earl had advanced enough and Joe had slid back enough for that to become a thing. But no, I simply think it's without an OCB, you know, this was an opportunity to get the third goalkeeper some minutes. Mm-hmm. It's really simple.
All right. Thanks, Lee, for the question. Our next question in the email and our final question from email. David would like to know, he says, hello, Michael and Dave. What is your favorite album to listen to? Do you base it off the best song, least amount of skippable songs, or something else? Mine is Who's Next by The Who. Dave, your favorite album to listen to, and what makes something your favorite album?
Okay, favorite album is going to have to be Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd. And just because basically if you just put it, as anybody who's listening to knows, when you get to the end, it just starts all over again. So you just keep going and you keep going. So no, every song on it is amazing. And I mean, that's, but once again, we're trying to ask me who's my favorite child out of many, many children there. I've, you know, you and I are both music fans. So, I mean, there's tons and tons of stuff. For those of you who don't know, Michael puts out there a bunch of really good year-by-year Spotify lists that are really nice to listen to. However, you did not answer why Who's Next was what it was that made that yours.
No, that's from him, David. David.
Oh, yeah,
David. Oh, okay. Victor, our emailer said Who's Next. Is good. Well, then, yeah, it's a good album.
No, it's a great album. I mean, actually, the Who was the second concert I ever saw. So now I'm a little disappointed he didn't tell us why. But anyway, so yeah, mine's Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon. What do you got?
Well, yeah, it's very difficult for me to list a favorite album because, you know, there's just a lot of different flavors and the answer is different depending on what day, what mood I'm in. Yep. You know, that changes constantly. What I will say is this, is that what I think is what makes something a great album to listen to me, I think, is the second thing he said, not the best song, because I think sometimes you can have an album with a great song and the rest of it's just garbage.
There's a whole reason why there are such a thing as one hit wonders.
Yeah. And then there's, you know, I think it's the second thing is the fewest amount of skippable songs. I think for me, a really great album has to have, you know, nothing that you want to skip. Like you, if you're listening to it on vinyl, you just let it go and you don't worry about it, you know, kind of thing. If you're listening to it on a CD, you don't hit the skip button. And you know, if you're streaming it, you don't hit the skip button, that kind of thing. And there's a lot of good ones. You mentioned Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon is one. Wish You Were Here is another one. So, albums where there's not a bad song. I think the first Cars album probably qualifies for that. The Rush Moving Pictures is one for me.
Yep.
There's so many really great. I will tell you that I tend to gravitate towards progressive rock. I love Pink Floyd. I love Rush. I love Genesis. You know, these are the bands that I love the most. There's a band out in California called Spock's Beard, which a lot of people haven't heard of, that they put out a lot of great music. Porcupine Tree is an album or group that I like a lot. They put out a lot of good albums. So I can't give you one album. I can give you like a myriad of albums and tell you that, yes, I like them. They are the albums that I come back to time after time because they don't have songs that I want to skip. Every song is good. I listened to one today. I'm getting ready to go see The Fix on Thursday, and I was listening to Reach the Beach by The Fix today, and that's one of my favorite 80s albums, and every song on it is pretty darn good. So that I could talk about this for hours, so I probably should just stop myself now.
I was going to say, we could do a whole separate podcast on the music that you and I like, because Michael and I are of an age where our music tastes are pretty similar. And so, yeah, it would be a whole nother – we would be here easily for an hour.
I mean, you know, I could sit here and give you, you know, Abbey Road. I could sit here and give you Led Zeppelin IV, you know, different albums that I – you know, just not a single song on or something that I want to go, can you hit the skip button, you know, whatever.
The Yes album, there's tons.
Yeah, so outstanding email from you, David, Victor, and I appreciate it. I can't pronounce this name on Twitter, but it starts with an N. It has a J in it, some Fs, a Z. I don't know. It's like somebody just hit the keyboard and just, or let their cat walk across the keyboard or something. But this is a Twitter question. Is it more beneficial for Orlando City to handle the academy themselves than to use an academy like Montverde? I will say that I don't know if it's more beneficial because I don't – we really kind of have yet to see how this whole thing is going to work with Montverde. But I would say in most cases, yes, it's better to have the academy players, you know, right there where you can keep an eye on them. Montverde's not really anywhere near the training facilities, not near the stadium. It's more work to keep everything sort of under the microscope. So I think it's probably better to handle the academy themselves. And I'm hopeful that, you know, if and when the training facility ever gets built in Lake Nona, that they will go back to their original plan of having the academy there.
Yeah, my answer is most of the best clubs throughout the world have their own academies, and they are within the organization, not standalone. So I think the answer is it's definitely it being a part of Orlando City. Now, it needs to be done the right way. You have to put the resources towards it. You've got to have the right people, et cetera. But, of course, that goes for any level from the, you know, the men's and women's senior teams all the way down. So it's, I'm hopeful that that vision will come to fruition. In the meantime, I'm supportive of, you know, Montverde and what they're doing there, and hopefully that will pay dividends. But that's all remains to be seen.
Right. And that's also, let's not say that just because it's at Montverde doesn't mean that Orlando City's not handling the academy themselves. They have employees, they have, you know, instructors and trainers and that kind of thing.
Of course.
Contributing to this. So it's not just that they're saying, okay, we're sending you over there and they're going to groom you and develop you. It's still, you know, there's still Orlando City fingerprints in the coaching and all of that. So, you know, we'll see how this model works out and whether or not they stick with it once the training facility is built. We remember Alex Leitao said that it would be built this year, which I don't think it will be, but maybe he meant that it'll start being built this year. I'm not even sure if that will happen. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, if nothing else, go grab a shovel, go over to the plot, put it in the ground, and you can start this whole thing.
Right. The plan is there still. They're still planning to build it. I don't know when it will be complete, but that's still the plan as far as I know. Thank you, NDIJKHOFFZ on Twitter for that question. I just figured I'd spell it because I can't pronounce that.
And we want to give them proper credit.
Yeah, I wouldn't even begin to be able to pronounce that. All right, Spot wants to know, thoughts on Chris Mueller dropping back into the back five during the last match. Dave, what do you think of Chris Mueller dropping back and creating a five-man back line in the last soccer game?
He was told to do it. He does what he does, or he does what he's told. But, I think Chris is best served in a wing position, not even certainly not a striker position, but in a wing position where he can provide service in and then provide the occasional goal himself. So is it ideal for him? No, of course not. But at the same time, you know, he's got the motor that if he is back there to get forward. So, at the point where it happened, it's one of those, hey, let's try anything. Mm-hmm. So, I don't blame James for giving it a shot, because why not? But how much of that is just a lack of good defensive cohesion?
I'm not mad at it. Quite personally, I think that, you know, what O'Connor tried to do there is he knows he had a team missing some offensive firepower. So he thought, you know, I'll play all of my defensive midfielders in this game. So he did. And he figured, well, we'll play a defensive first system and drop extra bodies into a back line. And Chris Mueller was asked to contribute to that. And I think that mostly he did a good job with that. But I will say that He perhaps could have done better on the winning goal, but then again, a lot of things could have gone differently on that winning goal. And he is not a natural defender, so it's kind of hard to really get on him about it. A rookie, and late in the game, he's been running his lungs out and doesn't quite get back. And on a ball that's probably coming from so far away that it's hard to judge exactly where it's going to come down. So it was a tough ending, but I thought Mueller mostly did pretty well. And I thought that, honestly, I thought that the game plan overall wasn't a bad one. I mean, I think that DC got a very good attacking midfield. Certainly Wayne Rooney is a world-class striker, so it was always going to be a difficult situation. And I think for the most part, there was, a couple of fluke plays. Otherwise, Orlando City comes away with a win. So I don't fault the tactics. There was some lapses that maybe shouldn't have happened, but and maybe some calls that shouldn't have been overturned that kind of contributed to that, and maybe an offside on the winning goal. But other than that, again, not mad at it.
Not to rehash all that.
Not mad at it at all. So I think it's fine. I don't think it's something we'll see all the time, but I definitely think that you're going to see under James O'Connor, you're going to see some guys asked to do things that maybe we haven't seen them do before, because I think he would ideally like to bring out a 3-4-3 or some other similar type of an offbeat look. And I think that's what he was running at Louisville City. And I think that's probably what he's comfortable doing. I think that he feels it'll be successful. And, honestly, the team has looked so much better the last several games, but they're still just you're still looking at a team without its two starting center backs. And, and even probably you probably got center backs 3 and 4 in there, maybe 3 and 5. It's hard to say. So,
and then you throw in Billy Matizen disease on top of it.
Yeah. So, but the team's, I think, looking a little better, but again, we're just not, if it weren't for bad luck, they'd have no luck at all. So, but thanks Spot for the question. Another question comes to us from Jim D on Twitter. Why should someone renew their season tickets? I am, but I really can't think of a reason why. Well, I'll tell you why, Jim, because you support Orlando City Soccer Club. And even, here's what I think about fandom. This is just my own personal take, generic, take it or leave it. You don't have to subscribe to it. This is just my thought process. If you love a team, you love them unconditionally. You love them through good times and you love them through bad times. And the bad times actually make the good times that much sweeter. So, take it from me. I'm a long-suffering Cleveland Indians fan. I have seen a lot of bad baseball in the last 40 years plus. And every now and then they put together a season where they come with – they don't win at all because that they're the Cleveland Indians. But they come very, very close. And those are the special years. The years where, even a couple of years ago when they lost to the Cubs in the World Series in 7 games, that was a special season. I mean, just an unbelievable series of feelings throughout the entire summer of just great plays, just clutch hits, fantastic pitching performances. And they are that much better because of all of the heartbreak that you've gone through. So why should you renew your season tickets? Because you love this team and you want to be there for them in tough times, in good times, just like your marriage, for better or for worse, right?
Yes, and except we want the supporters to be much better than marriages that have a 50% divorce rate. So we want it much more closer to 100. Michael's right. It's good times and it's bad. He mentioned that his life is essentially the movie Major League. Mm-hmm. Whereas I, as a guy of a certain age, as a Cowboys fan, I grew up in the 70s when they were one of the greatest teams ever. Then they had a period of time when I was still growing up that they were very, very bad. And then in college, they were very, very good. And then they've been very, very bad for a long time, but it hasn't stopped me from being a fan. Mm-hmm. Same with my beloved Baltimore Orioles. Growing up, one of the best teams around. Got to see him win the 83 World Series. Got to see Cal Ripken break the record. And then since then, it's not been great. But I still proudly wear my Orioles cap. Despite the fact that I'm down in Florida now, I will I've never adopted a Florida baseball team because I grew up an Orioles fan. I will forever be an Orioles fan, and nothing is going to change that. And the same goes for Orlando City. It does not matter. I am an Orlando City fan. So I unfortunately live in Tallahassee. Season tickets make no sense for a guy that has to work every Saturday. But if I had a different job, if I lived anywhere in Central Florida, you can bet your butt I would have season tickets even after a season such as this.
Yeah, so I think it's good if you are a season ticket holder, hang on to them, because at some point, all of this crap we've been eating, it will go away. And it might not be this year, and it might not be next year, and it might not be in 5 years. But someday, the team is going to get it together, make a great run, have a great season, and we're all going to enjoy that. And we can say, hey, I was there in the tough times. You all fair weather fans, you know, now that there's not a seat to be had, you know, you guys are the bandwagon fans, but I'm the true fan. And that's really all people want, is to be able to lord their fandom over
other, you know. Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Jim, for the question, and I hope you renew your season tickets. Frank is the last. I know you have one that.
Yeah, second to last. So Frank's second to last.
Frank's the last
yeah.
one I have. Would you make this deal, Dave? If Orlando City beats Atlanta, would you stand on your desks Monday at your places of employment, remove your shirts exposing an Orlando City jersey, and shout, "I'm the king of the world"? I would do this. I'm a social worker. Thank you, Frank. That is an outstanding email. My favorite email that we've gotten in quite a while. Dave, I'm on board for this.
I'm absolutely on board for this, and I work in a car dealership, as the listeners may know. And not only will I do it, I will have one of my coworkers film it, and I will put it out on Twitter if we beat Atlanta.
Yeah, I could do that as well. In fact, I know that it would probably not surprise anybody at my place of employment, because you know, I even have an Orlando City flag in my cubicle. The only caveat I will put on this is I can't do it on Monday because I work from home on Monday. So I would have to do it on Tuesday.
Well, that's just good news, because then if Orlando City does beat Atlanta, then they've got day one with me and day two with you.
Yeah, and we'll go ahead and embed those in next week's podcast post.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So thanks, Frank, for the question. Dave, you got a question before we are done with our Ask the Mainland podcast mailbag?
I do. We've got one from David Valentine on the Twitters. Should Flavio sell? Excuse me, three-parter. So first part, should Flavio sell? Second, are the soft rumors of affiliation to a D2 true? Third, guidelines for how OCB and D3 will be used?
Okay, so the first part of that is, should Flavio sell the team?
Correct.
All right, I will say that he should if he's not all in. I think an owner has to be all in. And for me, that's part of that is when something happens like that DC game, when something happens like that Columbus game, you have to be in Don Garber's office the next day, or you have to at least be on the phone with him the next day and just raising hell. I mean, you have to defend your team. You have to be there. It can't be anyone else. You're the money man. You're the guy that you know, put the team on the map and got the team into the league, and you're the one with the power. You have to wield it. And I think that if he's still all in, then he should not sell the team. I think that this team could probably use a little more investment. So I think he could maybe sell parts of the team and bring in additional investment into the team. But if you're not all in, then I think it's time to sell. And, you know, it's certainly, you know, it's a good question. I don't know if he's all in or not. I haven't spoken to Flavio in a while. In fact, he's such a busy guy, it's hard to even get an interview with him right now. So it's something that certainly bears watching. You know, can he... You know, obviously everybody remembers how hands-on Phil was, and that's not Flavio's style with regards to the team. But he has a different role with the team because Phil was also, you know, serving as president. So it's you know, just by being the president, he would be a more public person and a more outspoken person. So I think if Flavio's all in, he should not sell the team, but certainly. If he's not, he definitely should.
Let me break in here so we can do these part by part rather than having to go back. I agree. If Flavio, for whatever reason, does not have the money or time to spend, then sell to somebody who does, or like you said, open it up, bring in some more investors, whatever it looks like, you know. Somebody of importance needs to be making that call to Garber, because it's ridiculous. Stuff like that shouldn't happen. So do I think he should sell? No, I don't. I think he put a lot of time, money, and effort into, you know, building or bringing the club into MLS. And my hope is that he's still personally invested in it. And that's my belief. But, you know, just like, you know, if you consider supporters as stockholders in a company, albeit, you know, we're very, very small stockholders. He, as the head man, is still accountable to us and should be held to account, and needs to go out and like you said, he needs to, you know, maybe be a little bit more visible and or facilitate somebody else doing that. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah, and it's kind of a difficult, it's a complex question too, for a couple of reasons, because it also depends why he's doing it. Is this, you know, an investment for him? He wants to build up the value and then sell it at a higher price and make money off it. Is he doing it because he wants to own a sports team? You know, there's the whole question of, what are you in this for? And I don't actually have a concrete answer for what are you in this for. I get the sense that he loves the club and wants to be a soccer club owner, and that's why he's in it. I don't think he's in this just to try to, you know, flip it, you know, after a few years of you know, the value of MLS teams has been going up and going up. I don't think he's in this to flip it. So if he's truly a person who's passionate about the team and passionate about the game, then by all means he should hang on to it, and he should, you know, he should fight for his baby and his investment. So what was that second part?
Second part, are the soft rumors of affiliation to a D2 true?
Well, by just the definition of it being a rumor, no. Rumors are not true. It's not, nothing's true until it's been announced. So,
That's right.
And even something like, you know, this could be agreed to in principle and still fall apart. So, I would say nothing is set in stone in terms of anything to do with D2. And I believe our third question was about D3.
Yes, I agree with you on that. You know, we know better than almost anybody that until something's official, it's not official. But part three, guidelines for how OCB in D3 will be used.
Guidelines? I don't know that there are any guidelines other than they're going to compete. they're going to compete at the D3 level, which is where the old USL used to be under NASL. So NASL was second. It was Division II, and USL, when it was USL Pro, and even after they dropped Pro, actually, it was Division II or Division III, and then it went up to Division II. So it's going to work like that. You're basically going to have a place for your prospects to play. You're going to have a place where you can send someone to rehab from an injury, or somebody that isn't getting first team minutes can go and play. It's going to be basically just like OCB was used for the most part. There may be some differences, like a guy like Pierre da Silva might be a guy you would want to play at a higher level, play at Division II level. So you might not stick him with OCB if that's Division III. But other than that, it's going to work pretty much the same.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a feeder team, just like, you know, to make the equivalency in baseball, you know, you've got majors, AAA, AA, et cetera. So the same type of thing. And regardless, it'll be I want it to happen, because then we have a place for those guys and we have an investment in that level again.
Absolutely. Is that all of our questions?
I think that's it. It's almost as long as our first segment, but I think that was all of it.
Yeah, it's longer than our first segment, actually. it was a full mailbag this week. So thank you, mailbaggers, for all the mail baggage you have heaped on us this week.
Yes, because without an Orlando City game, we had nothing.
Yeah. Well, we had, you know, we could just get out of their way and just let them get on with their week. So, anyway, thank you for doing that. You can email us again, themainland@gmail.com, or ask us anything on Twitter by hitting us up with the hashtag AskTMLPC. And we are at the mainland. Please add us and use the hashtag. That's the best way to get us, because otherwise it could fall through the cracks. You know.
Yes, at hashtag.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, so we can turn our attention toward. Actually, we have one more question. I think we have more.
Do you have another question?
Yeah, I found another question. Reckless Games. Did we read Reckless Games? Reckless Games says, longtime reader, new podcast listener.
Welcome.
Ask TMLPC question. Do y'all think that Dom should have a strike partner? It seems like all the teams know he's our man and cover him as such. I feel like a strong second striker would help him out. So more of a traditional 4-4-2.
I can answer that.
Your thoughts.
Yes. 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 Yes.
I will say that I don't necessarily, it really depends for me what shape James O'Connor is using. I think
of course
we certainly need a more effective second striker than Stefano Pino has been. You know, whether that's him getting better or whether that's bringing someone else in, we definitely need more strength at that position. But if we're playing a one man at the top, I think that Dom's not hurting. He's got 11 goals and he's missed some time with injuries. So he's ahead of Kyle Aaron's pace last year. He's more like on maybe Kyle Aaron's second year pace right now. So I think he's been fine. Certainly, you know, everybody, it's not a secret. I mean, but it's no secret what LA Galaxy are going to do. Try to get the ball to Zlatan. It's no secret what DC United is going to do. You know, get the ball on Acosta's foot and Acosta's going to look for Rooney. It doesn't really matter that people know what you're going to do. It just matters whether or not you can execute. And Dwyer more often than not has been good at executing, and they've been able to find him. His service has not always been great, especially through the middle part of this season, but he's still managed to get his goals in, and you know, it's not been a problem. Basically, you just need a secondary scorer. If that's going to be in a 4-2-3-1, you need the attacking midfielders to score more. If it's going to be in a two-man top, you can need somebody that can score there. And I don't know that Pino has shown us that he can be that man. So it's a complicated question, but I don't think that the 4-4-2 right now is being used by a whole lot of teams, and I don't really expect James O'Connor to use it.
No, he won't use it. But to answer whether we need another guy that can score, yes. Yes, we do.
Yeah. So thanks, Frank Altamari, for that that question. So appreciate all of that.
That was not Frank.
What's that?
It wasn't Frank.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Frank is the one that asked us about the King of the World when he was the King of the World.
Yeah.
What did I do? I must have hit something because my screen is different. I must have hit the... Oh, well.
God, he had such a cool name,
yeah.
Too.
Well, I don't know. It's... See, what it is I'm punch drunk from all these questions. That question came to us from, Reckless Games. That's what it was. Reckless.
Told you had a cool game, cool name. Yeah.
Reckless Games. That's his name. Okay. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to totally screw up, but I totally screwed up because that's what we do sometimes. That's this. We're not professionals. Nobody's paying me to do this.
No, we are not anything close to professional.
Yeah. So, you know. Take what you can get, man. We're here for you. We're just like you. We're just dumb enough to waste our time doing this so you can listen to it, I guess. I don't know. So thank you for everyone who contributed to the Mainland Podcast Ask Us Anything segment, and get your questions in for next week, and we'll be happy to answer them on the air. Dave, let's turn our attention to Atlanta United. The Lions will host Atlanta in the third meeting between the teams this season. And the first game was very, very close. The second game was not very, very close. Nope. And neither one went Orlando's way. What's your key matchup and your score prediction? Do you see Orlando finally getting a win in this series?
Okay, so key matchup is going to be the defensive midfield, depending on who we have out there. Against
it won't be Yoshi or Krishnagida.
Yes, I know. Exactly. So it's whoever can step in there. How good can they do? What kind of job can they do stepping in for those guys to try and slow down Atlanta's attack? I mean, you know, with guys like Barco and Almiron, and oh God, there's so many. It's stopping them there, because we already know that we have a depleted back line that's patchwork. Mm-hmm. So it's really kind of all the defense, but I decided to focus on the D-mids. So that's where the make or break will happen. Unfortunately, despite it being my birthday, I don't think the Lions are able to pull it out. I'm going to go 3-1 loss on my birthday.
All right. Key matchup for me will be whether it's Joe Bendick or Earl Edwards Jr. against the barrage of shots that they will face. They have to come up big. They have to have the game of their life for Orlando City to have a chance to win this game, because we've seen that the doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the back line plays well, the midfield will turn it over and put them in a bad spot. Or they'll fall asleep at the wrong moment and give Joseph Martinez or Miguel Almiron or Julian Gressel or Barco or any of these guys a chance to score.
Yeah.
The goalkeeper has got to come up big and make some key stops, whether it's 1v1 chances or just standing on their head making great reaction saves. That's what's got to happen for this to go Orlando's way. So that's my key matchup. My prediction, and I think once again you've taken it, I'm going 3-1 to Atlanta. I think if maybe Orlando can get a second goal since it's a home game, but I definitely see three, because, I mean, this team gets given up three games in a row. So
yeah.
It's hard to imagine that stopping without Spectre and Sané coming back, and especially without Higuita and Yoshi, who are both suspended for this game. So there's going to be some shots, folks, and there may be a lot of shots. But
so
we'll
look for 4-1 rather than 3-1.
Or, you know, if that's if Orlando City scores. They didn't last time.
Or 4-0, right? Or 3-0.
It's not,
definitely not going to be 3-1.
We're not expecting goodness, I guess is what I'm saying.
Which we joke, but you actually predicted the DC score. So, I mean, it's not like we're always wrong. Well, I'm always wrong, but it's not like you're always wrong.
Well, I'm really annoyed that I got the score line right, because
that's true.
It sucked. It really sucked.
Yeah, great time to be right, Michael.
Yeah, well, it's not like I have any control over it. I just, you know, whatever.
Yeah, lest anybody think that we actually have any power over anything whatsoever, let us assure you, we do not.
All right, so there you have it. We're expecting the Factory of Sadness to keep churning out more for us for next week. The Pride play Chicago on Saturday. I don't know if you want to make a prediction there. I don't know what's going to happen. I have no prediction to make because I don't know what Pride team's going to show up.
Yeah, I would have thought that, I don't know. I've got nothing. You're right. Does the Marta that we know show up? Does Alex finally get, you know, on target? Does Kennedy start playing well again? Who knows?
I don't know. Alex is overdue for a hat trick. That's what I think.
So overdue.
I'm not going to predict one, but she's definitely overdue for one.
No. We should probably predict one.
Well, just come through. We'll dash that.
Yeah, but then maybe she'll get two.
All right. Well, anyway, we'll be back next week to talk about both of these games and look ahead. We'll have U.S. Women's National Team stuff to talk about. They'll be having a couple of friendlies coming up. We'll also, maybe we'll talk a little bit about the men's series of games coming up, and we can maybe wax on a little bit about U.S. Men's National Team coaching rumors next week as well. It's we'll play it by ear, because Orlando City has a game against Atlanta, and then they're off till September. So,
and it really depends on how we feel about that game.
Yeah, that's true too. Anyway, before we get out of here, we got a couple of 5-star ratings this week, Dave, to talk.
What?
Yeah, on iTunes. If you leave us a 5-star rating and say nice things about us, we will read your rating or your review on the air. And so here's what we've got for this past week. We got one, had one on Sunday, had another one on last Thursday. So we'll start with the most recent one from Luke Southmaid. Says, great. 5-star. Enjoy the podcast, even when we lose an extra time, which is all the time. You can't really argue with that. That happens way too often.
That is a truthful statement.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so last Thursday, Sayaru says, best source for city talk. 5 stars. Been a longtime reader and follower of the mainland, but just recently started listening to their awesome podcast. Great, insightful, knowledgeable discussions about all things Orlando City and Orlando Pride. Entertaining, funny, and informative, just the way a good podcast should be. No matter how bad we look on the pitch, it's comforting to hear the guys share in our misery and try to remain a tiny bit optimistic. Thanks for the quality content and go City. That's the hardest thing about this podcast is every week we have to somehow get on the air and record us talking about a game we don't even want to we'd think about. No. We want to forget it. We want to drink ourselves into oblivion instead of reliving this game, but we do it for you guys. We do this for you. We don't want to talk about it.
That's why we do this. So we typically record this on Tuesday nights. That's so that we have time to recover from the drinking. So that we can then speak coherently about this, because otherwise, if we tried to do it after the loss, immediately after the loss, it would be a lot of mumbling.
Yeah, and I actually, you know, one of the things I haven't been able to do is we wanted to do a post-game show, like an actual post-game show that people would call in and stuff. We have the capability of doing this, but I haven't really had the bandwidth to do it, because usually I've been writing after every game, so I don't really have time to do it. But an immediate reaction show would be great, except that I would be like, have you ever seen the comedian Lewis Black?
Yes.
Just everything that comes out of his mouth is just anger.
He's yelling and angry.
And that's what it would be. That's what it would be, me yelling and angry and getting my heart rate right back up. And I don't know that that's healthy. So maybe it's good that I don't have the bandwidth to put that post game show together. But it's still something I really would like to do at some point, if we ever had a big enough writing staff to where I didn't have to do every game, you know, at the stadium.
I can't wait for that to happen. That will, I think it'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a lot funnier than this one is, even though you and I have a good time on this one. Having the actual interaction with people calling in would be fantastic.
Yeah, except again, I would be Lewis Black. He's basically my life is like Lewis Black's comedy act, only not quite as funny. It's a lot sadder, but that's kind of how I go through life anymore. But anyway, thank you so much for the kind iTunes reviews. And if you leave us an iTunes review with 5 stars and say, you know, leave us a review, we'll read the review on the air, because why not? We would love to have more ratings, and that helps us get noticed by more people on iTunes. So right now we have 33 ratings, and almost all of them are 5-star, Dave.
Well, how appreciative are we? I mean, that's fantastic, and that's why we read these things online, so that, you know, you get a little something out of it.
Yeah, we got a couple of haters to give him the 1 star, but I mean, come on, 1 star, really? Yeah. I mean, I can see you not liking us, but come on, if you're giving us 1 star, you're just being a hater. You're being disingenuous, because we're at least a 2-star.
Well, what I've learned in my business, at least on Google reviews, is the 1 stars give legitimacy to all the 5 stars.
Really? Well, we're legitimate AF right now. All right. That will do it for episode 139 of the Mainland Podcast. Big thanks to Rafa Cabrera. Man, we're going to miss that guy.
Yes.
I'm going to miss him. And we're going to have, you know, we're going to have to break in the new guy or new gal, whoever it is.
Or whoever it is. Yeah. I mean,
and
they've got big, big shoes to fill.
Absolutely. And really best of luck to Rafa with his endeavors.
Yes.
I'm so jealous. You know, he's going to
right?
Real Madrid. I mean, come on, you're a soccer fan. How could you not love that? Anyway, so best luck to him. Thanks for being on the podcast. Probably way overdue. And we will we'll see you down the road, Rafa. We will see you, podcast listeners, next week as we break down Orlando City versus Atlanta United and the Pride versus Chicago. And again, like I said, we'll talk about the U.S. Women's National Team and anything else in the soccer world that we cover. We will be here to talk about it next week. So on behalf of David Rowe, I am Michael Citro. You can find us on the Twitters at Mainland Dave and at Mainland Michael. I'm going to sign off now the way I usually do by saying go City and go Pride.